You're listening to Know Your States, Know Your Community. I'm Jack Peterson here with Jim Healy. We're continuing on with Louisiana, the Pelican State, the Creole State, the Sugar State, the 25th most populous state in the country, right in the middle there, home to 4.5 million people. Louisiana is the 18th state in the Union, inducted on April 30th, 1812. And we're talking to a Louisianan named George Jeffrey. No, I'm sorry, George Joffrey. I had to correct that.
That's
I apologize.
Okay.
George, thanks for being here. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Where in Louisiana do you hail from?
Morgan City, Louisiana.
Oh, Morgan City, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Where is that?
Between New Orleans and Lafayette on Highway 90.
I know basically where New Orleans is because
I just followed the Mississippi all the way down. Go east along the coast from New Orleans.
Okay.
Right along. I mean, exactly along the coast.
Yeah.
It's about 90 miles, 98 miles.
A coastal city.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bottom of the boot.
Bottom of the boot. talking about the shape of the state there.
Right.
And is it, so what, that's like the, what do we call that? Is that bayou country?
Yes, it's absolutely bayou country.
Okay.
It's all coastal. I mean,
yeah.
From Florida to Brownsville, the coastline is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, coastal erosion.
Yeah.
Fishing.
I think Louisiana is one of the most fascinating states and one of the most unique states. That we have. It's with the French influence, of course.
Right.
Where it sits at the, you know, the commerce coming down the Mississippi River, its history, but also then its geography, which is a little bit different than other places. Louisiana, Morgan City, Louisiana, what size of a town is this?
12,000 people.
So it's good size.
Morgan City, Berwick, across the river. There's some small towns around there.
Compares to Sandpoint, then, kind of in that area.
As far as size,
just in population.
Pretty close. Mm-hmm. It's pretty close.
Small town.
It's a small town.
Tiny.
Yeah, it's in between the big towns.
Yeah,
but the population of Morgan City comes and goes depending on the work.
Okay.
Or how about the weather? Did you get hurricanes?
I've ran and dodged hurricanes my entire life, from a child through adulthood. Yep.
What's that like? And, you know, I grew up in northern Indiana, and we didn't get hurricanes.
Well, you got to be vigilant. You got to be ready when the storm enters the Gulf, because, you know, it's pushing a lot of water. It's pushing a lot of wind.
Okay.
When Katrina hit New Orleans, New Orleans was spared other than the flooding.
Mm-hmm.
Waveland, Mississippi got the brunt of it as far as the devastation.
Okay. I mean,
it looked like a bomb went off. Wherever they make the landfall with the strongest winds, you know, it's going to have the worst damage. But then you have the water. And
how do you prepare for that?
You evacuate.
George. You exit?
Oh, yeah. You got to exit. Exit or drown.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, because Venice, Louisiana, when Katrina came through, there's a levee system around there.
Okay.
It's like 23 feet above level.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the water came over that and just, it was like a big bowl full. All you could see the outline of the roofs of the houses when you flew over that.
Were you there at the time?
I was working out of Pascagoula, Mississippi, but based out of Venice, Louisiana with Chevron.
Yeah,
and we had evacuated to Morgan City, and we rode it out there and had 100-mile-an-hour winds.
Whoa. And was the water level up high?
The water was good in Morgan City, but not New Orleans, no, because if the seawalls wouldn't have broke along the 17th Street Canal and in that area, it would have been okay.
But they didn't.
Once the storm got north and that wind started pushing that lake water against it, well, it's been there for years, and whatever reason, those walls came down.
Yeah.
And that's really what messed New Orleans up.
Yeah.
So what's it like? Okay, you've evacuated Morgan City, the hurricane.
To there.
Okay, the hurricane hits and whatever, and you come back. The water has receded.
Yep.
What's it like?
It's a big mess. Okay. You got mud and sea sediment everywhere from the Gulf of Mexico all the way up to I-10. Huh. Grass and the power lines along the highway. 30-foot tidal surge that storm pushed. Almost 12 miles up inland. So, yeah.
So how do you recover? How long does it take?
It takes years.
Muds and the...
Well, everybody's got to dig all that out. Everybody's got to pull their carpet out, pull their refrigerators out, pull everything out because everything's rotten.
Yeah.
By the time you get back, because nobody's got power for weeks.
Yeah.
Except for generators, but then you go in there and do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Is New Orleans, in your opinion, I mean, is New Orleans, has it ever recovered from Hurricane Katrina?
It's recovered considerably from Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
It took a while, but they're moving right along. I mean, there's still
plenty. That was 20 years ago now.
Yeah, there's still plenty of things on the outskirts of the city that could be done. But as far as downtown New Orleans and everything, yeah, they recovered well.
Yeah. Okay, Morgan City is, how far are you from New Orleans?
98 miles.
Okay.
And do you have any childhood memories growing up in Morgan City? What did you do as a kid?
Hunt, fish, hunt and fish.
Okay.
Okay. You're in the bayou. Does this mean? I mean, my perception of Louisiana just comes from pop culture. So, what are you driving around on a fan boat, watching out for alligators?
Well, it all depends on what you're doing. You know, you got a mud boat, you got an air boat, you got a regular motor boat. You got some of the best fishing and hunting in the southern United States right there along the Louisiana coast, bar none. And you got the fresh and salt water where you can catch bass and redfish and flounders all in the same area just by moving a few hundred yards here or there.
That much of a big, that close
well,
to
Well, you're right there on the Gulf. I mean, I could launch at the boat landing and be in the bay in 35 minutes, depending on the...
And then you're in salt water.
Oh, yeah, and yes, salt water. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then a lot of times during the winter, you'll get a lot of salt water intrusion that goes up into the river. And so you'll get a lot of variety of fish all the way up almost to town. In fact, it used to come in so hard that they would have shrimp. You could catch shrimp at the boat landing in Berwick with a cast net.
No way.
Oh, I mean, fill up a bucket full in no time.
Okay.
But that was back in the day. Not anymore.
Louisiana has always fascinated me, and I never lived there, but it was always kind of on my, I didn't come from here either. I came from Minnesota, and I think it was always kind of in the places that I wanted to spend some time. I've never even been.
Well, if you like good food,
that's what I like about it.
Definitely the place to go.
And when you mentioned shrimp, just the idea of just plentiful shrimp.
Everything is, you know, I have to say, that's one thing I miss the most about being in a landlocked location is the abundance of fresh seafood availability. However, Sandpoint's got a good spot here. That keeps us stocked up there.
He does, right there by the. Yeah.
So would shrimp be what, you know, when you think back of, boy, I'm going back to Louisiana, and when I sit down, I'm gonna have
shrimp, fried frog legs, fried oysters, fried alligator. We're gonna have some fried hush puppies with that, with some coleslaw, and of course we gotta have a bowl of gumbo to go with that before the fried fish. So,
how's alligator? Does it taste like chicken?
No, it does not taste like chicken.
No,
it does have white and dark meat. The tail. There's a white meat around the shoulders, and the jaw roasts are red. And that jaw roast on those big ones, you know, 12, 13, 14 footers, they get pretty big. It's like a big pot roast. And you stuff that with garlic, and you brown that like you would a regular roast. You usually make those with a red gravy or brown gravy. Now, however, the fried alligator, there's a lot of cartilage in the tail, so you got to get all that out. And fried alligator, when you fry it, you eat it right out the grease. You can't just let it sit. It'll melt in your mouth right out the grease, but if you let it sit 25 minutes, it gets rubbery the more you go.
Jim, George could be lying to us right now. I would have no way of knowing. This could be.
Look at the person.
This sounds like a tall tale. Eating fried alligator right out of the grease.
Right. No, it's not a tall tale.
Okay.
It's a tough job getting them now.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you ever gotten an alligator?
Yes.
How do you catch an alligator?
Sounds like
the beginning of a joke.
We call them bean poles, just some long, straight poles, about 15 foot.
Uh-huh.
And you stick that in the bank, and you got a line tied to that with a big hook. Mm-hmm. And you get some chicken, like a chicken thigh, and you hook that in there, and you hang it about a foot off the water, foot and a half off the water. Mm-hmm. And during the heat of the day, the fat on that chicken will just drip in the water.
Because
the alligator's sucking by scent and smell. And they'll just come up there and grab that, and they'll swallow that whole thing. They'll go down once they know they're hooked. Then you come through there running your lines, and you got to pull them up, shoot them in the head, pull them in the boat. You know, because you get so many tags per how many acres that you have, lease or mm-hmm. own.
Ah, okay.
And that's how the state distributes tags for how many acres you got.
Yeah.
Because you got to control them. Otherwise, you know, you're out there during the summertime, you're frogging, you're trying to catch some frogs, and there's so many alligators in the canal, and you're competing with them.
Competition mm-hmm. is severe.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do? So I don't know what technically the hottest state in the country is, or but Louisiana's got to be in the running for a summer day.
Yeah, no,
I don't
it's
know.
Hot.
So what do you do? How do you beat the heat? What's the culture on the weekend in Louisiana in the summertime? What do you do? You sit inside?
Like anybody else, you're going to get in the air conditioned, but I mean, it doesn't stop you from outside activities because you're already used to the heat and humidity.
Okay.
So you
get acclimated.
Just like moving anywhere, you get acclimated to that mm-hmm. climate.
Uh-huh. Now, Morgan City is southeastern Louisiana. What's the rest of the state as you head north like? Have you spent much time
there? Okay, well, when you get north of Lafayette and Opelousas, I mean, it's all hardwood country.
Okay.
Up around Toledo Bend, all the way up to Shreveport, it's all hardwood country. Everything south of I-10 is swamp. Mm-hmm. Well, swampish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and does a hurricane go that far north? Does it turn into just a nasty storm?
Well, yeah, once it gets that far north, it's just a nasty storm. But, I mean, depending on what category it is, when it hits the bottom of the state, it mm-hmm. can still, you know, it spawns a lot of tornadoes. That's the problem with a hurricane. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wait. Well, once you wait and the wind hits, mm-hmm. there's no driving in that because mm-hmm. you can't see.
You're mm-hmm. stuck in
so
place.
So you're stuck. Mm-hmm. And then the tornadoes come up. You can't run from that. And you mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, you don't even know there's one because it's so loud with 110-mile-an-hour winds blowing outside.
Mm-hmm.
And, all you can do is be prepared. If you got a cellar, good for you. If you stay above the floodplain.
But, most people don't, right?
Because everybody grew up along the coast. Everybody comes back and rebuilds. Uh-huh. Now, I've had three of my cousins that lived in Chalmette. They lost everything. I mean, Chalmette was totally underwater. Mm-hmm. And in fact, my cousin and his son, they stayed for Katrina. Mm. He said when the storm surge came, they were on the front porch. The water was at the street. He said by the time they got in the attic, from the front porch to the attic, the water was at the eave of the attic.
Oh,
wow.
If it wouldn't have been for the axe that his dad put in the attic during Hurricane Camille, they would have suffocated up there. He had to chop his way through the attic, and they sat on the roof for 3 days after Katrina before the Coast Guard plucked them off of there and brought them to Bozeman, Montana. Whole group went to Bozeman,
Montana.
They loved it. We heard from, it was like 3 days after the storm, four days after the storm. My phone rang. I was like, well, we thought you were gone, dude.
Yeah.
Man, you were right. I should have left. I was like, well.
Oh, man.
Right.
Okay, we talked about food.
Well, we didn't really get touched too
good. Go ahead.
There's so many different things.
What did we miss?
Okay, well, if you're gonna spend the money to go to the state, go to New Orleans
mm-hmm.
and go walk Bourbon Street, go all around the French Quarter, There's more than enough restaurants to go around. I mean, some of the best food in the world is right there, in my opinion.
But when you mention all that, I think of music.
Okay, well,
tell me about the music.
Home of jazz, blues, jazz. There is a melting pot of music there.
I think of Cajun music.
Oh yeah, no Cajun music. That all on the coast. Everywhere you go along the coast of Louisiana, you go in any club, any bar along the coast, any restaurant. Normally, you're gonna have some Cajun music going on.
Okay. Okay. Now, do you get back down to Morgan City often?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I left the humidity when I retired. 37 years working in the Gulf of Mexico. I'm where I need to be.
How about let's see what more can we say about New Orleans? Fascinating city. I don't know.
Food.
Yeah.
Food and entertainment.
Did you spend time there? I mean, in New Orleans?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I worked downtown New Orleans.
You did?
Yeah, with Chevron. Okay. And my mom's mom and dad's dad lived there. We spent Mardi Gras there, right off the avenue, Napoleon and St. Charles. Mm-hmm. We used to walk from the house off the stoop. We'd walk right down to the corner and, getting Mardi Gras back in the day.
Yeah, is Mardi Gras worth going to, or do you try to avoid it as a local?
Well, as a local, you'll plan your time. If you're gonna do Mardi Gras, it's gotta be a strategic planning event. Otherwise, if you go off half-cocked, you're gonna end up in traffic and miserable and not finding a place to park. So you gotta, if you plan it, it can be very nice. But you gotta be ready for a crowd, especially if you're gonna be downtown New Orleans, because it is very, very thick.
I can remember, I've been to New Orleans a couple times, and Café Du Monde.
Oh, yeah. Well, they
with the beignets.
That. Yes, beignets all the time.
And coffee with chicory.
Yep.
And and the other thing I remember about New Orleans are the cemeteries.
Yes.
That, because the water table is so high that the tombs are above ground,
right,
and to navigate your way around, it's the history and the stories. I remember that part of New Orleans too.
Right. Yeah, we spent a lot of time in the cemeteries. I'm visiting relatives with my mom and all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, exactly like you say, everything's above ground.
Let's see, where is Baton Rouge? That's further up the state.
That's 70 miles north of Morgan City.
Oh,
not too far. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all tucked away in that little area there. And then there's the rest of the state shooting northward.
Yeah.
Hardwood country. What else do you wish that we asked you about Louisiana?
Well, if you're talking about the French people, Lafayette, Louisiana, the French settlement there would be a good spot to visit after New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
More good food anywhere.
Yeah.
New Orleans to Lafayette. Yeah, but you get us. That's
can't miss.
No.
Let's see. Is this okay? What's the difference between Cajun and Creole? Can you tell me that? maybe. Maybe not.
It's like you have different groups of people along the coast. You know, you have French and Sabine Indians, I really couldn't say that there's a definable difference that I could explain. They both do the same thing.
But are there people who will say I'm Creole, not Cajun?
Yeah, that would be people more towards West Lafayette.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get more Creole over there.
Yeah.
And we're more Cajun down where we're at.
I think is there something in the cuisine, one uses tomatoes and one doesn't, or something like that? Or peppers?
Well,
or,
that I don't know. That all depends. No, some people like tomato sauce, some people like a brown gravy.
Yeah.
It all depends on how you were raised. I've eaten it both ways all along the coast. So I guess it all depends on.
I have a handheld device in my hand.
You have the difference?
Cajun and Creole are two distinct cultures and cuisines from Louisiana, with Cajuns being Acadian, French-Canadian.
Right. They came down,
descendants often associated with rural areas, and Creoles being descendants of French and Spanish settlers.
You see, because my heritage comes from Nice, France, in the northern Lombardo region of Italy, and they came down through Nova Scotia and migrated south all the way to Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
An incredible mixture of cultures.
It's a melting pot of culture down there. No, absolutely.
Let's see. Okay. Red beans and rice. Like it?
Yeah. I love it.
Okay.
I cook it.
Jambalaya. What is... I guess I've ordered jambalaya. If I order jambalaya up here, is it more or less what I get? What you'd get down there? Or is it...
No,
or jambalaya is kind of everything.
I don't know. I haven't eaten anybody else's jambalaya up here to speak intelligently on that issue.
Okay.
But I cook a lot of jambalaya.
Yeah. And that's just kind of everything. Everything in one pot, right?
Well, you know, usually you got your smoked sausage, your honduy sausage, your pickled tasso, shrimp, onions, green onions, parsley, bell pepper, your Zataran seasoning, plus your rice.
Yeah.
Except some people like a red gravy, more tomatoes. Some people like a brown gravy.
Mm-hmm. Jack, there it is again. It sounds like to me that we have a tour guide right with us if we ever get down to New Orleans together. George, I'd like you to take us around.
Oh, well. Well, there's plenty of tours you could go, and that's something else. If you go down there, definitely take a swamp tour. They'll show you some swamp, show you some alligators, safe. You know, you get to see the beauty of the swamp. A lot of people say, oh, the swamp, it's terrible.
I imagine it's absolutely
It's
perfect.
It is.
Yeah. George, thank you so much for being Louisiana's representative on Know Your Country, Know Your Community, and Know Your States, Know Your Community. George Joffrey, thank you so much.
Thank you.